Just an opportunity for a testimony or two, maybe three, five, seven, however the Lord leads. Does anybody want to give a testimony? Good, Brother John.
I thank God for Godly Mother. The first Bible verse she ever taught me was Isaiah 9:6. So, you mind if I...
Help yourself. Maybe I don't have to preach tonight.
Isaiah 9:6, music by George Frederick Handel. For unto us a child is born, unto us Son is given, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? That microphone scared him, Brother Dan. Scared him.
I'm excited. Bless my shirts. Okay, I'm going to embarrass myself apparently in front of everybody, so I'm just going to stand here like Napoleon. No, I'm just real excited to see us new people come to the church. Thank you, Brother Josh. As new people come to the church, we see our family growing. It's not just the new people are coming, but new people are becoming part of our family. And that's been beautiful to see, including the three that were up there singing that beautiful song tonight. And the young man, I don't want to forget you, Jared, that played that piano. That was beautiful. Anyway, I love my church family more and more every day. Thank you all. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else? Nobody else? You'll say something? That's okay. Life is hard.
I just want to say that we've been coming, I don't even know how long now. The kids were invited to the Discovery, and I came to watch over them at their meetings to make sure they were all safe. And I started coming, and we kept coming, and the kids were teaching me, you know, from what they were learning here. And I was raised in the Catholic Church, and they don't teach you like they teach you here. There's nothing like the Bible teaching that we've been getting. And the pastor, I mean, he's magical. You know, it's because he knows how to just touch your hearts, you know, and he's awakened something in my heart that I've never felt before, and I'm 65, you know, it took me a long time, but I'm here, you know, and this is where we'd like to stay. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate everyone that's here that's welcomed us and helped us. We thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I want to say, first of all, how thankful we are for our pastor and for our church, but also for every person in this room. We started coming and really fell in love with this church and getting involved in the kids program with Miss Jill and, pretty much being guilted into it by pastor. But we were praying about something to do and to get involved and just getting to know each person, whether it was through the Christmas play with Bob and Susan and where mom and dad, they're not here tonight, but just coming a little early and talking with some of the folks here and working with, I was Mandy's mentor for a while, and just having an opportunity to serve the Lord is such a blessing. I would encourage you, if 2018 was kind of a lackadaisical year for service to the Lord, I encourage you to get a little more involved in 2019. This church is primed to grow with the widening of the road and the buildings around here. And if we have some great workers to support this pastor and the church, God will open doors. And I'm excited for 2019 for just being here and having a place to call home. Some of you have been here for a long time and you've gone through a few pastors and I've been to several churches. And let me tell you, it's one of the greatest pastors I've ever known. We talked about it in men's meetings and different things. Transparent, thank you, there it is, transparent, he's got a great heart, he loves the people here, we text every now and then, and the encouragement we get, and just amazing, his whole family, you don't find many churches where the family is as involved, the pastor's family is as involved as it is here, so it's just a blessing to be here. Testimony time is just really a testament of how great our church is, and we're thankful for it, we pray often. For the pastor and his family, and one of my resolutions to pray more for the pastor and our church, but just excited to be here, excited to be part of a phenomenal choir. I could sit here, I could just brag on so many people. Brother Jim does such a great job. Don't ever take him for granted. He is here before anyone, and he usually leaves after everyone, and he was walking around the room today, and it's just such amazing people here. Love our church and just love being a small part of something great here in Baltimore Creek Road. So we love you and love our church.
I just want to share something with you this evening. I don't know if it means anything to you or not, but I'm just thinking about the Christmas season. And I don't dislike Christmas, but I dislike what the world has made it into.
Amen.
And I was just sitting thinking this morning. And people are running here and there and buying gifts for this one and that one and for each other. And worrying about if they forgot somebody or if they got the right gift. And I'm thinking, well, whose birthday we're celebrating here? I mean, that was just my thought that ran through my head. I said, Lord, what can I give you this year? And I thought, well, you know, I have a bank account. My name's on it, but it's yours already. You know that, but I gave it to him many years ago. I don't own that. And, well, I have a car. My name's on the title. But, Lord, I gave you that a long time ago also. And I guess that's why it's still running. And I thought, well, I have a piece of property with a house on it. My name's on the deed, but, Lord, it's not mine. It's yours. You know that. Just impressed me to give myself more to him this year. I mean, you know, he owns me. I'm saved for 46 years and have no doubt about that. But this year, I want God to really just use me more in whatever he chooses. So this year, that's my gift to God. I'm giving more of myself to him if he'll have me.
Well, there's so much to be thankful for, and foremost on my mind, of course, is my sister's safe delivery of Sophie, and I really appreciate you all praying for that, because I know that so many of you were actually praying. You weren't just asking me for an update, but you were actually praying, and I know that that really made a difference, so I really appreciate that. But I'm really thankful that we're part of Lock Haven, and it's kind of a unique feeling for me every year to think about what God is doing at Lock Haven, because I came to Lock Haven before I was a part of the church as a missionary kid. And so I knew, you know, the original 13, as we all know them, so long ago as a kid, and then just to come back as a married woman, and just the unique way that God brought us here, and watching all that God has done through the Stockton family for Lock Haven, it's just truly amazing, especially now as an adult, looking back on all those years that I came as a child. I didn't understand the faithfulness of those people, but now I can see what God was doing through their faithfulness, and it's just been exciting for me to watch him bring people to the church, and he continues to do that. And I'm just really thankful because, again, as a missionary kid, I've been to so many churches in my life. And what we have here is really special. Our unity and the family feeling that we have. And we all just kind of look out for each other. We all pick on each other. We're all there for each other. That's really special. And I really hope that we would never lose that, because that's really where it's at. You know, Christ gave his life for the church, and he wants us to do the same thing. So I just am really grateful for the church family that we have, and that we're blessed to raise our voice here. Sorry, I always try to give testimonies, but and I want to thank each of you for being a blessing to our family. Kind of like Brother Douglas said, I'm really looking forward to another year of what God has in store at Lock Haven, and tonight is always a good reminder to just serve a little bit more faithfully, just like all those people did those 11 years before the Stocktons came, and that we would just continue the same way.
I would like to thank you all for praying for me. I was just thinking before, I was sitting down praying for the church. And I said, Lord, this is what we're going to see in heaven. The many people that we're going to, that we see now, we're going to see in heaven. But there will be people from many nations, many, as the Bible puts it, is the whole world will be there. People from the whole world. I want to thank you because I may not be a member of this church, but I'm a member of Christ Church. And I feel the love that you give me, and I thank you for that. Thank you for taking care of my sister. And believe me, I do pray for you guys, and thank you for your love. Thank you.
was kind of nice, you know, because, well, like, before I've been here in this church since I was, like, 8, and I've always loved it here, but it was just always something that we can look around and we can see that we don't have the biggest church, and I always just despised the fact that, you know, man, I wish more kids my age went here and stuff, and being away in Pensacola and going to church there, it's about 5,000. And I called my mom, it's not what I thought it was be. Like, I really don't like it and everything. Like, the preaching was amazing, but it was just, I miss this. I miss being around people that I didn't think I would miss, you know what I mean? And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody, because it is an amazing church here. It's really, like Ms. Lowe's was saying, it's a really close-knit bond, and I don't think I could find it anywhere else, so thank you.
When you said something, I got to say something to you. I'm very grateful also for our church. I'm grateful for the family that God has given me, not only my physical family, but all you guys. The ministry that we attend here, and I'm very excited how the church keeps growing. I remember one time the pastor was talking how we used to see it over there. There was nobody on this side, and then all of a sudden, move this way, and it's like, if you get anywhere over there, then we're going to knock the door. Speaking of going away, you know, but now, I'm happy, I'm excited that you guys showed love for my family, my kids. I've got a couple of teenagers, as you know, and, you know, think about it a lot. I got two other children that tried bringing them up in the Lord, but at the age of Daniel and Abdiel, 17 years old, they were out of our hands already. It wasn't easy. And I think that the love that you guys share, Pastor and the church all together, towards my family, has kept this voice here inside. And I'm very excited that Benji's back.
I'm just very thankful for our church. It really is a family, as everybody has been saying. I was thinking about Christmas time and piggyback to when Lois and I were talking about all the things that were going on. You know, the holiday season is the busiest time of the year, and our conversation revolved around the things that were going on here. And it truly was a blessing that we're so involved here, that everybody is so involved here, that the things that are going on here, God is pleased and God is happy to look at. And I'm just very thankful to be a part of Lockheed.
Thing. Yeah, I mean, most of you know Jordan, she's almost 10, and she had said to me a couple of weeks ago, she said, you know, Grandma, I love my church. She's, I love it. She says, I will never move away from here. I will live in this area, and when I get married, I'm getting married there, so when I die, I'm going to have my funeral there. She's here forever. But I thought that was like, oh my gosh, she really loves this church.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in class. I plan on staying here as long as Methuselah lives. You tell me how long, next youth meeting, tell me how long Al Methuselah was, okay? You can do it. It's in Genesis. Tell me how old Methuselah was, and that's how long I'm going to be here. So, not now. When we go to Tennessee, you tell me, okay? It's in Genesis, all right? Very first portion. If you read past 8 chapters, you've missed it. You got to back up and read it again. Got it? What's his name? Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. You thought just getting out of here, didn't you? Yes. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. It's amazing as you read this here portion of the Bible and you look at it, it was almost as if Isaiah was celebrating in the Old Testament the very coming birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read it, it's like, oh, it's going to happen anytime real quickly. But we know it did not happen quickly. It was time, but it was in God's timing, like it said in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time. And so Isaiah, by the power of God and the Spirit moving upon him, was able to see all of this in advance. It's kind of amazing, you know. How many of you, maybe not now, but sometime in the past, you planned a trip, you laid it out, and it was all there. And as it got closer, it was getting harder to sleep. You know, you probably had to be young, so some of you might think way back out there. But you couldn't always sleep because you were so excited in advance before you ever got there. I mean, you know, you just was excited. I can imagine how excited it must have been for Isaiah to be writing down these scriptures and these portions and passages and then giving us in this here little verse, verse 6, the very dimensions of the deity of God, of Christ, as we look at it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and tonight the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So as we put in reverse, we back up this morning. We looked at the Mighty God. Now we're going to look at the name of the Everlasting Father. And I guess what this here kind of pops out to me is, as I read it, is that the Everlasting Father is outside of time. And so he had to enter time, because he is eternal. He's without. Remember the Bible says a thousand years is the day of the Lord, a day is a thousand years. Because he's not subject to time. You know, and so the Everlasting Father, as he's named here, he's letting us know that, hey, I'm going to step into time. I'm going to step into your place. I'm going to get where you live. I don't know about you, dear friend, when Hebrews says that we have a high priest who has been touched by infirmities and things that I've been bothered with, I've been troubled with, and I can go to him. I mean, that just helps me out like nothing that you cannot imagine. And so by entering into time, he couldn't just like all of a sudden pop in, because then we'd have like another Big Bang theory, right? Like, wow! 33-year-old Jesus, where has he been all this time? It wasn't like that. So he had to enter in time just like you and I, in a way, except with God being the Father and that virgin birth. And so if he had to enter and step into time, just like you and I, we had a place of birth. I was born in Bell County, Texas. And when I'm giving my information there, my father was in the military, and so it's right outside of Killeen, right outside of Killeen. Bell County's the county out there. The hospital was actually in the county, and so when they say, "Well, what city was you born in?" You know, you're filling out some kind of paperwork. I said, "I was born in Bell County, Texas." "No, you had to be born in the city." "I'm sorry, I wasn't." Right here on my birth certificate, it says Bell County, Texas. That's where I was born. You know, it's kind of, well, no, the county's big. You know, where were you born? I was born in Bell County Hospital in Bell County, Texas. And so there had to be a time when Jesus, the Everlasting Father, made the decision to step into time. He stepped into time with a definite place of birth, Bethlehem. Micah, if you would, over in Micah chapter number 5. One of them little bitty books that kind of sneaks around in the minor prophets and before Nahum and after Amos, over in that area. You've got to find it. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. So his birthplace, because he's everlasting and he's internet time, he would be there in a definite place. Because he didn't want just somebody, you know, another theory. He wanted facts. He wanted know-so. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of these shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. So the everlasting Father, as he entered into time, God didn't want somebody to stand up and say, well, you know, maybe it was like this, and, you know, Jesus was like this. No, he just like he says in 1 John 5:13, these things are written that you may know. He wanted us to know with certainty, hey, this is the Son that was given, and he shall be called the everlasting Father. You know, as you go there. Now, the first mention of Bethlehem, if you would, go, hold your place there, Micah, because we're going to come back there in a minute and talk about that. But the very first mention of Bethlehem was over in Genesis chapter number 35. Genesis chapter 35. It's a time mentioned of the place of Rachel's death. Genesis chapter number 35 and verse number 15. And Jacob called the name of that place where God spake with him, Bethel, verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel there but a little way to come to Ephrathah. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benaniah, but his father called him Benjamin, in verse 19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrathah, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. So the very first mention in the Bible about Bethlehem was actually a place of sorrow. And so if you go to Isaiah, hold your place in Micah there. We're going to come back over there. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. So it's kind of fitting that if it was first mentioned in the Bible, I told you many times, I get all the answers I need out of a passage of Scripture. If I just go back to the place God first mentioned in the Scripture, find out how he's using it, what he's saying, and which way is in context here. Generally speaking, not every time, it's not like 100%, but generally speaking, it gives me so much insight on what he's talking throughout the Bible there. So in Isaiah 53, we know Isaiah 53 is a prophecy of his death. But if you look in verse number 4, look at what it says. So, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So the very first place Bethlehem is mentioned is talking about Rachel's death, which, you know, any burial place, if you've ever been around a funeral, cemetery, that last moment in that place, it's a place of sorrow. It's a place of heartache, a place of pain. And the fact that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, which is first mentioned as a place of sorrow, and then the Bible says in Isaiah 53:4 that he would be a man of sorrow. I mean, it's just kind of unique there. And not only that, does anybody know that the place of David's birth and anointing, where do you think it was? 1 Samuel, let's go and see. 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Hold your place there in Micah, because that's a hard one. I don't want y'all to lose it. Y'all be taking 2 hours to track it down again. 1 Samuel, hold your place there, because all this is tying in to little old Micah 5:2. 1 Samuel 16. And verse number 4. 1 Samuel 16. And Samuel, which was a great prophet of God, did that which the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem. what in the world he's doing over there? Well, he came to do something. Look at verse 13. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So Bethlehem, is first mentioned as a place of sorrow. Jesus in Isaiah 53 bore our sorrow, so he's a man of sorrow. This place of Bethlehem was the place where David was born, and not only was David born there, he was anointed in Bethlehem to become, king there. And then, how many of you know what Bethlehem Euphrates means? You know what it means? House of bread. House of bread. Isn't that amazing? Look with me over in John. Hold your place in Micah. Look back over in John chapter number 6. The Gospel of John chapter number 6. So, Bethlehem, a place of sorrow. Jesus was a man of sorrow. David was born. David was anointed there. Bethlehem Euphrates means house of bread. John 6 and verse number 35. And listen what it says. John 6, 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am what? Bread of life. It's amazing stuff here, dear friend. We're talking about the everlasting Father entering time and saying, I want you to guess about this. I want you to have some certainty. I want you to have some no-so and some hope-so and some yes, this is yay and amen. For the testimonies of the Lord are certain and for sure. And so he gives us a lot of information to help us understand that what he's saying is truth. And it is there. But look back in Micah chapter 5 again, and verse 2. Now here's the Savior's future. The everlasting Father entering time at a certain place. And it was orchestrated by God. And moved upon so that Joseph and Mary would get back to Bethlehem. But look in verse 2 of chapter 5 of Micah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, thou that though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is the ruler of Israel. So his future and the past is all tied together. The everlasting Father. Why do you say the future and the past are tied together? Look what it says. Finish reading. Whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. So the Savior's future and past is all tied together from old and from everlasting. And the everlasting one, listen, made himself subject to time. Philippians said it like this, he took upon himself the form of a servant. He was man. He came down. God manifested in the flesh. And so the Savior came down. And as he did that, it's an amazing thing here that, go with me to Luke, if you would. Let's flip over to Luke now. We're about done with Micah there for a minute. But look over in Luke chapter number 1 again. We looked at this verse this morning, but it helps us to have understanding of all that's going on in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 32. So David was born there in Bethlehem. David was anointed there. And his throne shall be he shall rule forever according to what we read. And he's from everlasting and old. But Luke chapter 1 and verse number 32. This is what it says. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Where was David born? Where was he there? You see how important this is? It's not just God didn't just like, let's throw a dart and let's say he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He tied it all in together so we would know the everlasting Father entered into time, and as he entered in time, he became subject to time. He grew like normal people. Isn't it amazing that when they traveled to Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary's, their custom was, that it wasn't like, wow, there's a 12-year-old Jesus, and he looks like a full-grown man. He was a full-grown 12-year-old. Why? Because he had subject himself to time. He grew, he wanted us to know Hey, and it's no doubt, when I was born in that manger, out of the womb of a virgin, and I grew just like you, just like every normal man, just like everybody's going to say, here's Jesus, there's Jesus, Jesus here, Jesus there, just like all these other Jesuses, but there's something different. I'm the everlasting Father. I'm the everlasting Father. And so as he made himself subject to time, there he humbled himself, and he died on the cross of her, when the ghost, when he gave up the spirit, he died like normal men. He lived like normal men. He was hungry. He thirsted. Remember on the cross of Calvary, I thirst. And so forth and so on. The everlasting Father entered time, subject himself to things that affect you and I, so that me and you can have a good understanding that when it says, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that these characteristics of God was sure, and yes, and it pictured Jesus Christ and the deity of Christ, Christ being God. I mean, this is just wonderful stuff as you look at it, and you get it. I know this is not your normal Christmas sitting in stores that we go with, you know, most of the time, you know, we get these and get there, but I'll tell you, when I was reading through here and I saw this, I said, I mean, this is good stuff. I mean, he experienced growth, an everlasting Father from old and everlasting. He experienced growth and birth and death. And it was an amazing thing. It was all in his time. It was when he said it was going to happen. They didn't kill him. They didn't drag. Listen, they didn't have a midwife show up out there in the manger and say, listen, it's time. The star's up here. Let's go. No, in the fullness of time, God sent for his son. Amen. Well, it wasn't just, like me and my wife when we were young with our first one, man, we had all kind of wives' tales. Syrup, your castor oil syrup, and driving in the truck across pasture fields and up and down through there. I mean, jumping up and down, all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff. And never, none of it ever worked. It wasn't none of that with Mary. In the fullness of time, God brought forth his son in a certain place called Bethlehem because that's where God said it to be. But it tied in. This is amazing. He's from everlasting and old. He's eternal. But it ties in the place of birth and where it's from. It ties in to his rule in eternity, as it goes forth into the millennial there. The amazing thing is, dear friend, he lived, he died, but he lives forevermore. Amen. Why? Because he's the everlasting Father. Look over in Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. And verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Wherefore, the Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by seeing, by him seeing what? He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Look over in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Yeah, he experienced birth like you and I. He experienced death like you and I. But I'll tell you right now, he lives forevermore. By his own power, by his own might, that stone was rolled away from the grave, and up from the grave he arose, and forevermore he lives. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8. He said, it says here, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, the everlasting Father, lives forevermore. Lives forevermore. Now this is, so what I saw, we saw the everlasting one, he's entering into time. We saw the everlasting one made himself subject to time. And now we're going to see that the subjects of time are offered eternal life because the everlasting Father entered into our world and paid our sin debt.
Amen.
That's amazing stuff here in the Bible, dear friend. This ain't nothing you get over at Marvel Comics, dear friend. This is real, live, eternal stuff.
Amen.
I mean, I like Superman and Spider-Man. I don't even know if they're Marvels. Are they Marvels? Or are they the other guys? Which one is? But Jesus was BC, right? AD and BC. I mean, I like it too, but this is way beyond anything that you get all excited about, and all you ladies running around here watching Hallmark movies like you done eyes bugged out. You got Hallmark burning to your eyelids there. They don't even have to cut cataracts out. They cut a Hallmark off your eyes. You've not seen so many movies over there, romance movies this time of year. Listen, it's way beyond that. When the everlasting Father subjects himself and enters time and makes himself subject to time so that we who are always subject to time, always, now because of him doing what he did, we are offered eternal life. For God so loved the world, and whosoever believed in him should not perish, but just have a few days in eternity. What do you say? Why? Everlasting Father. We have now, once you're saved, we have what kind of nature now, Brother Jim? Divine. How do we get divine nature? From the everlasting Father. I mean, you read this, you tie it together, and look at it. I mean, these five names have been, it's been a tremendous study for me. If you hadn't liked it and hadn't enjoyed it, shame on you. Not because it's mine or I'm doing it, but because this is exciting stuff. And you know, seeing the names and so forth of him. And so we're subject to time. At birth, we begin to age. You know, the Bible says about us, it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. You know, we begin to age. Time begins to take its toll on us. How many of you over on this side can still run a 40-yard dash like you could when you were 16? Takes a toll, don't it? Time does it. Time gets it. I mean, it really does. The other day, Brother Chase and I was right out here. Was that Friday, Brother Chase? That car flipped over out here?
Yeah.
Brother Chase was on the phone looking that way, and I'm looking. I saw the car. I mean, I saw him go in the ditch. I saw him flip over this way, flip over that way, then flip upside down right there in the church parlor right there. I took off running when he did the first little whoop-de-doo. I thought I was getting there pretty fast. I really did. I was like, man, is he moving further and further away? Every time I take a stride, I was getting out there. I'm just like, man, I didn't realize the parking lot was this big. I thought for sure I could run from the flagpole out there to the first parking lot. And I said, you know, 9.7. Look, I'm not Hussein Bolt, but anyway, but that's not a 100-yard dash. I know it took me 37 seconds. All of 37, if not 42. I mean, I'm trying to cheat myself a little bit because time takes toll on this body, and we leave life much when we came. When we came into this world, dear friend, we leave this world kind of almost in the same sort of shape if we live a full life. We really do. I mean, we start to, you know, our mind starts slowing down, our body starts slowing down. We're needing help again from others, you know, need to be cared for again because we can't make it from, on our own quite as well, just like we were when we were babies. And we, which are subject to this, by faith in Christ, we can have everlasting life. Because of the everlasting Father. Now here's the question. Brother Dwayne, you took one of my points off of here, my little question things here is this. But Dwayne said, what we're going to do in the next year? What will you offer? What will you offer to God, our everlasting Father, Jesus Christ our Savior, this coming year? This time's ticking. We don't know that we have another year. If we do, praise God, we've got a lot of work ahead of us. We don't know. But what will you give him? What will you offer? What will you say to the everlasting Father? Because you entered into my world. You got into my space, and you came down here, and you subject yourself to time, so me, who is subject to time, can have an offering of eternal life with you. Now, here's the catch, dear friend. I've got to clarify this, and we're going to close real quick. If you don't accept Christ Jesus, your personal Savior, you shall live for eternity in a place called hell. But what he offers is life eternal with the everlasting Father. That's a big difference. A big difference. Let's stand to our feet.